Greetings, I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Christopher Dews, who is a policy advocate for the Job Opportunities Task Force. And Christopher is here today to talk to us about the various things that the task force is doing to put Baltimore to work and about some very, very important things going on in Annapolis.
Indeed.
That we all need to pay attention to and to do something about. So,
indeed.
Christopher, welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, thank you once again for having me. My name is Christopher Dews. I'm with the Job Opportunities Task Force. And what our mission is simply to help lower-wage workers all throughout the state of Maryland to advance to higher-wage positions. And we do that in a plethora of ways. One, we have a project Jumpstart where we actually train city residents in Baltimore and place them in construction positions like electrical work and carpentry. And then we have a research aspect where we just research the situations that are happening in Baltimore. And then most importantly, at least for me, we have a policy team that goes out to Annapolis and pushes for legislation that's going to help advance lower wage workers.
How can somebody find out more information?
Oh, wow. That's easy. You just have to go to jotf.org. You can also donate there if you support our mission and our cause to help lower wage workers advance to higher wage positions. Another thing you can also do if you are looking to volunteer or support is attend, and this is huge, our lobby day. We have a lobby day happening on March 19th of 2020. 2020 is our 20th anniversary, so we're going big. And with this lobby day, we're calling it Jobs and Justice. We're partnering with Out for Justice, which is a nonprofit organization run by Nicole Hansen, who is helping to find justice for formerly incarcerated citizens who
Nicole is
trying to help people with reentry. We're also partnering with Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, another organization that is going out of their way to make things better. They're
Absolutely.
A think tank to make things better for the lowest income workers throughout the state of Maryland. And at this lobby day, like I said, we're calling it Jobs and Justice. We're specifically focusing on doing workshops and talking to legislators and marching on Annapolis under five very specific areas. And that is juvenile justice, which is huge for us. Marijuana legalization, because a lot of people of color have been criminalized brutally simply for marijuana, and so we're pushing the legalization of that. Policing reform to stop overcharging and things of that nature. We're also pushing a women's reentry center. There's nine of them right now for men and none for women. This means if a person is returning home, that they have a spot that they can return to that's safe and they can
Nicole
get themselves.
Nicole was on this show to talk about that.
Yes, and she's one of our biggest partners on that.
Well, that's Like these other ones, these are things that have to get done.
Indeed.
And there's another one?
Yeah, the last one, the biggest one for me personally, because this is my actual legislation that I am trying to advance, is a part of decriminalizing poverty, which is making auto insurance much more affordable for workers. Like, we are the Job Opportunities Task Force, and 50% of Marylanders, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, 47% to be specific, have to travel cross-county to be able to get to work. And so if you don't have access to auto insurance, or you do have access to auto insurance, but it's ridiculously unaffordable, then you really don't have access to drive. And if you can't drive, you can't get to work. And if you can't get to work, you can't take care of your families.
So folks, as a result, don't get the insurance.
Don't get the insurance. And they'll just drive without it because they have to take care of their families. They have to go to doctor's appointments. They have to get to work. And then that, of course, can lead to fines and fees, which on our policy side, outside of lobby day, which once again is March 19th, on our policy side, we're pushing so that fines and fees don't rack up and suspend your driver's license. We're pushing so that child support doesn't become such a burden to you that that it stops you from being able to even enjoy going to work. We're pushing legislation that's, and this is one of our biggest things, that is expungements. We want to help people who are fighting for that second chance to be able to go to work, to get anything that's on their record expunged, simply for the sake of being able to be employed. Because, I mean, if you're a person, no matter who you are, you got to eat. You have to go to work. You got to provide for yourself. And so we're just pushing different legislation that's going to help to make that happen. And once again, if you're interested in helping us with this mission, you can always go to jotf.org, go to contact us, and one of our members will definitely get in contact with you very, very quickly.
And telephone number, please?
Telephone number. You can actually call me directly. I'm a policy advocate. I manage a bunch of different things. And that is my number is 301-412-5399. That's 301-412-5399.
Great, thank you. Let's talk about juvenile justice.
Okay.
What are you working for in Annapolis right now for that?
Yeah, so juvenile justice, one of the biggest things that we focus on is fines and fees. Now, this may seem strange, but right now juveniles can be charged with certain fines and before they even hit the age of 18. Yeah. And so, of course, that means by the time they hit this certain age, they have to pay off all this money for court systems and court costs. And so we're making it right now so that if you are under a certain age, you don't get charged a bunch of different things of that nature. We're also reformatting juvenile justice to the best of our abilities to make sure that let's say right now, if you are a juvenile, you can be interrogated by police, right? Even though you're a juvenile. Now, technically, you don't even have legal adult rights, but you can answer questions, be on the record. And so we're trying to push it so that a juvenile cannot be interrogated for any reason unless an adult is involved. We're just trying to make it safer so that juveniles do not get caught up in a system before they ever even have a chance to blossom and grow up, where now they're going to be locked out of employment. Because, like I said, job opportunities.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. So a juvenile who is arrested for something, mm-hmm. do they have the right to have an attorney?
You know, unfortunately, they ought to. They ought to. Normally, from what I know about the law, that's actually sanctioned through the adult or whatever parent or guardian is actually there. And the law is very, very fuzzy about these kind of things. So sometimes certain people get the opportunities, but a lot of other people do not. And it becomes exceptionally complicated.
And that
so
we're sounds like to clean something that could be abused, too.
Absolutely.
And subject to bias and favoritism and everything else.
Absolutely.
That needs to be clarified. That's for certain.
Yes, yes.
And just in the interest of fairness, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. And you mentioned about marijuana legalization.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's happening in some states, in some areas, and not in others.
Yes. Now, you know, marijuana is a very complicated thing. Typically, those who do not, who have never partaken, like myself, have never partaken with marijuana, they look at it as, you know, it's a horrible thing, blah, 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 blah. And we actually are not weighing in on that aspect. Uh-huh. We're not weighing in on the morality of marijuana. Mm-hmm. What we care about at the Job Opportunities Task Force is should a young person or any person specifically be incarcerated for this? Should they lose their freedom? But more importantly, should it be something that is now on the record that is a barrier for them to have employment?
Ah.
That's the part that we care about. Like I said, job opportunities, that's all we care about. And so the reason why we specifically are moving into, if not legalization, shielding or automatic expungement of those certain types of charges, especially because they're nonviolent charges or whatever like that, we're pushing them so that people won't have barriers to employment. Nothing is worse than a young person trying to get a job out here, putting an application after application after application, even sometimes getting the job and then being told, oh, your background came back because you had possession or you had a controlled or CDS charge.
What can they do?
Now you can't. Yeah. I mean.
They're and then they become a ward of the state.
Yeah.
In one way or the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either going back in.
Yeah.
Or being a defendant.
Yes. And recidivism in the city is huge, specifically in Baltimore, where I'm, where I live and where JOTF is stationed, is huge. And so how do we reduce those rates? The bottom line is, regardless of certain moralities, you have to consider that people need the opportunity to go to work. And if legislation in Annapolis is getting in the way of that, that is what we're fighting to change.
I wish that that could be a crowning way for folks to look at it, because it makes all kinds of sense from all kinds of economic perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, as you said, you're not taking a stand on whether something's moral or immoral.
Yeah.
You're solely focusing on jobs.
Yes.
And that's something I would think that you'd get a lot of support on.
Yeah. Now, and it's very interesting because it is morality. It is for most people, for even legislators. It's your constituents and how people feel about something.
Right.
If you look at it specifically from the ability to get full-time work, people, for example, we also push legislation that will reduce or eliminate driver's license suspensions for fines and fees. Well, some people may say, well, you just shouldn't have driven your car that fast. You shouldn't have parked. We understand. I personally, I even agree. Yeah, you shouldn't have driven that fast. Right. Maybe you shouldn't have stayed in that 2-hour parking lot for too long. But now if a person has a massive debt that they can't pay off and now their license is suspended, so now they can't go to work, now we've got a bigger problem. If child support, yes, you should take care of your children. We want everybody to be responsible for the kids that they have. But now if paying off child support is so exhaustive that you can't live for yourself and that you can't feed your families so that you end up giving up on going to work altogether,
there must be some kind of compromise.
Compromise.
Between what society has adjudicated morally.
Yes.
And the practical.
Yes.
Reality.
Yes.
That you need
yes.
certain things to
yes.
get a job.
Yes.
And to keep
yes.
a job. And if there's insufficient public transportation, if it takes you 2 hours.
Yes.
One way,
mm-hmm.
that's not something that's sustainable for somebody with a full-time job.
Yes. And Baltimore specifically has had historically horrible public transportation. And that's not even me coming after them. It's just there's all sorts of places you can't reach. Buses come late. And then, of course, if you start showing up late for work, that's going to affect your employment.
Again,
that's what we focus on.
It gets back to that need for society to say, wait a second. If one of the major values that we have is somebody getting a job and being self-supportive, which
yes.
it certainly is.
Yes.
You know, I don't think many people are going to disagree with
yes.
that. Then certain compromises have to be made.
Yeah. And I think the question that always needs to be asked is, should we get in the way of somebody being able to go to work full time?
Yeah.
Should
we get in the way of somebody being able to provide for themselves? But keeping in mind and keeping the reality that those children need to be supported.
100%.
And that person has to pay their debt to society.
100%.
But is it something that is it good for society to have somebody be permanently banked out of the workforce?
I have a nice nifty little analogy. When I was much younger and I would touch the stove, whatever, my mom would slap my hand. Or when I did anything, she would slap my hand. And, you know, that's a corrective action that's going to move me in a better direction so that I make a better decision in the future. What we want to happen is, or what we're seeing happen with modern legislation right now, is that instead of slapping the hand, we're slashing off the hands. And then now somebody's walking with no hands, and then we're telling them, well, why can't you run? Why can't you pick this up? Why can't you compete? When literally there are systems that are in place that are cutting off people's ability to even be able to perform.
And we're in effect condemning them.
Yeah.
And one would say, of course, they're self-condemned, but as you said, the reality is they're in that side box.
Yeah.
And they can't get out of that side box without some help.
And the lack of forgiveness in our culture, you know, there's just the idea that something that you did maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, even 2 months ago, that's not, you know, that may be what you did, but that's not who you are.
Yeah.
And if you have somebody who's actively trying to make a change in their lives, and now thanks to legislation or moralities that we're pushing, now people can't get redemption, they can't change, they can't, you know, do what's best for themselves and their families. That then falls on us morally to understand, I mean, how are we going to do this better for them? Or are we
Absolutely.
The bad guys in that situation? That's something to consider.
Absolutely. Yeah. And these legislative issues that your organization is advocating certainly are in that direction. How can our listeners help?
Oh, wow, that's simple. Once again, you can go to jotf.org, contact me directly at 301-412-5399, and of course, get involved with our lobby day.
How can they and how can they do that?
Literally, just if you were to just contact myself, I'm me and my partner Darrell Frazier, a coworker, we're basically setting up orders so that we can make a lobby day a very powerful and pronounced movement on Annapolis, so we can talk about these issues and get people educated and talk to legislators about it as well. And you can always call one of the two of us. I'll give my number one more time, and that's 301-412-5399, or go to jotf.org.
How about for those folks that can't make March 19th and would like to help?
Oh, simple. I would just suggest that you contact our COO, Monique Boyd, and her number is 443-692-9424, or you could always, once again, go to jotf.org.
Okay, and you folks certainly need donations and volunteers.
Yeah, definitely. We're always looking for more partners that we can work with that are going to come along the side of us and with our mission, and that are willing to give to us to advance lower wage workers to higher wage jobs. And you can always donate on jotf.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Christopher Dews, who is a policy advocate for the Job Opportunities Task Force, for being our guest today. Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you for having me.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
I will.
And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.